For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill, your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. Your report brought to you by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service in Avon. Well, we begin with our Canadian friends and Canadian farm broadcaster Dennis Guy. He has a report on the current crisis when it comes to the Canadian government. Now, here in the U.S., we have our own issues, but he says he has some very serious issues right now in Canada.
Chrystia Freeland has resigned her cabinet posts, both as finance minister and as deputy prime minister. In her resignation letter, Freeland said that she and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had become at odds about the best path forward for Canada, including how to handle the incoming Trump administration's blanket tariff threats. Chrystia Freeland's resignation coincided with her presentation of the federal government's fall budget statement. This action leaves Trudeau and his Liberal Party vulnerable to a non-confidence vote led by the official opposition Conservative Party under Pierre Poilievre.
Just to underline the chaos we're faced with here, the finance minister resigned the day she was to present the fall budget, which was going to contain a massive deficit overrun. Why won't the prime minister have the courage to come in here present himself and put it for a confidence vote?
Trudeau's Liberal Party can be ousted if the opposition parties, the Conservatives and the New Democrats, unite on a vote of no confidence. That vote would not likely happen until late January, when House members return from the Christmas break. Last week, Justin Trudeau, along with several cabinet ministers, met with Canada's premiers over teleconference to discuss various strategies to meet Donald Trump's tariff threats. In that call, it became very apparent that the provincial premiers are extremely divided when it comes to what Canadian exports to the U.S. should be embargoed in the event of a blanket 25% tariff. In that call, François Legault, Premier of Quebec, Canada's largest electricity supplier, is not in favor of stopping that flow of energy, and Alberta's Premier Danielle Smith is also against stopping the flow of petroleum from her province.
From the Alberta perspective, under no circumstances will Alberta agree to cut off oil and gas exports. We don't support tariffs. All it does is make life more expensive for everyday Canadians and everyday Americans. Analysis we've seen is that a 25% tariff would add a dollar a gallon to every gallon of gasoline that Americans purchase. And when I mentioned that to all of the governors that I spoke with, their eyes went wide.
Conversely, Ontario Premier Doug Ford said that while an across-the-board energy embargo should be a last resort, the strongest response possible is required with negotiations of the USMCA pact on the horizon.
It's going to be unaffordable for Americans to buy electricity. We're sending a message to the U.S. You come and attack Canadians, we're going to use every tool in our toolbox to defend. It's a last resort. And let's hope that never comes. Let's hope we can get through this trade deal.
Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
All right, Dennis, thank you very much. You're on AM 1150 Chasm Radio. Well, focusing on other agriculture, we may not talk about quite enough on Chasm Radio. Obviously, we talk a lot of crops and dairy and beef, but other crops around the U.S. are having their own struggles. For example, Florida's orange crop, one of the smallest on record. Here's more details, Rod Bain.
Florida's contribution to USDA's all-orange production forecast this time of year is significant as one of the leading orange-growing states. However, for the National Agricultural Statistics Service December orange production report, it is not a production increase that makes the Sunshine State notable.
All oranges for Florida this month is 12 million boxes. That's down 20% from the October forecast of 15 million boxes. The all oranges is down from the previous season, 33%.
According to Mark Hudson of USDA NAS in Florida, forecast over forecast production decreases are caused by
Hurricane Milton come through that went right up through the citrus belt. It was a contributing factor to this decline.
Yet when it comes to year-over-year forecast, these numbers are significant as?
If this current forecast is realized, it'll be the smallest crop since 8.95 million boxes in the 1929-1930 season, back before they had irrigation.
What is behind the forecast? Hudson calls it an imperfect storm.
Our bearing trees are down. Our fruit per tree is down. Our size is small, and our drop is high. And then we had Milton come through.
The breakdown of reduced Florida orange production by category per the December forecast includes...
The non-Valencia oranges went from 6 million in October to this month in December to 5 million boxes, which is down 17%. And then the Valencia oranges went from 9 million boxes in October to December to 7 million boxes, which is down 22%. Now, comparing it to previous years, the non-Valencia is down 26% and the Valencias are down 38%.
The Florida orange production total contributes to a 5% decrease from October in the U.S. all-orange production forecast.
Texas and California and Arizona, their estimates from October are carried over from October until January, when next time they will be updated.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Alrighty, Rod, thank you very much. And finally, this morning on your Central Minnesota Farm Report, we check in with John Harris with the U.S. Meat Export Federation regarding a situation in the EU.
The European Parliament has approved a one-year delay to regulations that would require importers of beef and other goods to show their products are not linked to deforestation. The law was to go into effect at the end of the year, but as U.S. Meat Export Federation Vice President of Economic Analysis Aaron Bohr explains, the EU systems were not ready.
It essentially requires geolocations for properties where cattle are raised to prove that they come from lands not deforested. And there are several layers of requirements, so it's a pretty intensive documentation process, and the systems were not ready for implementation on December 30th. We have, in general, traceability on our production for Europe through the non-hormone treated cattle program, but those geolocations are not shared past the verifier. So there are pieces, you know, that already exist, but they're not all put together to be able to feed into, again, this information system that's freshly launched. And having the importers having those locations in play by December 30th, not practical for the U.S. or other countries. A year is not that much time to still try to figure everything out.
Deforestation is not a concern for U.S. beef, but the regulation, as written, places a significant documentation burden on U.S. producers.
We remain optimistic that there could still be changes to this regulation to make it workable, and just remind that we have a $20 billion trade deficit with Europe on ag products specifically, and that is just in our trade through October. So hopefully we're in a strong position to try to reach some type of agreement, not just for the U.S., but for all true no-risk countries to not have the burden of the EUDR as is written.
For more, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm John Harris.
All right, John Harris, I sure appreciate your time here this morning and your report with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on CASM Radio, brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service. Go check out their trailers. Get your end-of-year buys in now. What a great selection, Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Joe Gill.